listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Podcasters of S.H.I.E.L.D., Cinema Geekly's Marvel podcast. It is Anthony and Aurora, and we are back after being put under a spell for a really long time, where we lived in our own world where we didn't record podcasts for 2 months. But fortunately, we met a really sweet young man who went out of his way to break us out of this spell and has now firmly implanted us back on the Witch's Road. So we are back to finally talk about episode 7, 8, and 9 of Agatha All Along. So where we left off, it was the Billy Maximoff flashback episode with William Kaplan, where we see his whole journey into becoming Billy Maximoff and discovering who he is and all of the stuff that led to the Witch's Road. So that's where we left off. But we pick up with episode 7 called Death's Hand in Mine. And we're just going to read through what happens in these episodes and then sort of talk about how we feel about the ending of the show instead of picking them apart episode by episode. So Agatha and Billy continue on the road before coming across a castle. Upon entering, they are garbed in costumes of witch characters from popular culture and are presented with tarot cards. If they do not place the proper cards in the correct sequence, swords hanging from the ceiling start falling down. We get flashbacks from Lilia's first lesson in divination, and this reveals that she has been experiencing her life out of order, explaining her memory lapses and her precognitive abilities. After falling through the mud, Lilia discovers that Rio is the personification of death, something that Agatha already knew, who forebodes that her time is coming. She awakens Jen, and after evading the Salem Seven, they venture through the tunnels underneath the road, reuniting with Agatha and Billy. Knowing the trial is hers, Lilia places the cards in the proper order, saving them all, prompting everyone to flee through the exit. Lilia, however, chooses to stay behind as the Salem Seven approach. She flips one of the cards, causing the entire room to flip and impaling all of the Seven and herself on the swords. In the last scene, a young Lilia gleefully attends her first lesson in divination. A very cool episode, which honestly, honestly doesn't connect with the last two episodes at all, really. So it's weird to talk about that randomly. I guess I just want to say that I thought it was really cool doing the story kind of in a non-linear, like explaining that Lilia is experiencing her life in a non-linear way is really interesting. And it took a little bit of time to get a hang of what was happening in that episode, but very cool. And they found a way that they could dispatch of the Salem. I mean, the Salem Seven, boy, they like, I liked the solution to them, like how you got rid of them, but man, they were just really ineffective, weren't they?
they just were so slow.
They were so slow. They never got anything done.
Yeah.
They never took out anybody. Like,
they, you know, they prioritize just looking creepy over actually doing the job. Yeah.
They had priorities, Aurora, and getting things done was not one of them. Right.
I will say, I just want to say about this episode that this was my favorite episode of the whole season.
Yeah, it was a great episode. Yeah, I loved it.
And I loved the connection with the tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
And how they like visualize them at the end.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Very cool.
I feel like this episode was pure art.
Yeah. I really loved Agatha not knowing how they worked and was just like, what? Like, places a card down. There's just swords falling everywhere. She's like, eventually we'll run out of swords. They did not run out of swords. Okay, so episode 8 is Follow Me, My Friend, to Glory at the End. After guiding Alice's spirit to the afterlife, Rio meets Agatha and agrees to leave her alone in exchange for Billy, who has disrupted the cosmic balance by gaining a second life. Billy and Jen rejoin Agatha at the end of the road, discovering that it is a circle. Billy puts his shoes back on, and the three are transported to a version of Agatha's basement with grow lights that slowly start to go out. Jen learns that Agatha is the one who bound her magic and performs an unbinding ritual, regaining her abilities and vanishing, having gotten what she needed from the road. Agatha helps Billy locate Tommy's soul and Billy's place in and Billy places it in the body of a drowning boy. Billy also vanishes, and with a seed from her locket, Agatha grows a flower within the crack of the floor, completing the trial. She escapes into her backyard, where Rio attacks her. Billy intervenes and gives Agatha some of his power, but Rio orders them to choose who goes with her. Hesitant at first, Agatha kisses Rio and dies. While Rio leaves and Billy returns home, upon entering his bedroom, he realizes that many of the objects in it match aspects of the road, and he hears Agatha laughing behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a crazy episode.
Yes, it was fantastic too.
Another really good one. I really enjoyed the finding Tommy's soul scene. Like, he didn't trust Agatha and was like, felt guilty about doing this. And she's like, are you helping me kill this boy? Was like a line that really stuck out to me in that episode. But she wasn't. And she really did help him find somebody for Tommy. Mm-hmm. And then we got all of the stuff with Agatha and Rio at the end, which was all really tremendous. And I felt bad for all of the people living in Westview who were like, this again? Oh, man. Get everybody go inside. There's another witch battle.
Listen. I wish that was my issue outside. Mm-hmm. I wish that I had, you know, I could go, you know, look outside my window and just be like, oh, another witch battle. Yes. Make the popcorn.
it beats scraping the ice off of the windshield.
Yes.
It beats tornado warnings. It beats school shootings. Like, man, we could just, everyone steer clear. There's another witch battle going on over the North Atlantic.
I will love that. Love it.
Gladly take that. Okay. And then our conclusion, episode 9, Maiden Mother Crone. We go all the way back to the year 1750, where we see Agatha give birth to her son, Nicholas. Death/Rio appears and is going to take the baby, but on Agatha's pleas, she relents, warning that she will eventually take him. And it was also noted at this point that they already had a relationship with one another. This was not like Agatha's first experience with Rio. She was calling her my love during those moments as well. Agatha spends the next 6 years raising her son while killing witches, which Nicholas grows to oppose. Together, they create a children's song that would eventually become the Ballad of the Witch's Road and take on a life of its own. Eventually, Nicholas grows sick and death takes him, devastating Agatha. With nothing holding her back, Agatha spends centuries murdering witches and stealing their powers by conning them with the promise of the road. In the present, Agatha, now a ghost, tells Billy that he made the previously non-existent road a reality with his magic, something he has in common with his mom. Billy blames himself for the deaths of Lilia, Alice, and Sharon, but Agatha retorts that she was already planning to kill them, and that Jen is still alive, so hey, at least they're not all, you saved one of them. Billy returns to Westview and tries to banish Agatha, but she resists, afraid of having to face Nicholas in the afterlife. Billy relents and allows Agatha to guide him after sealing the entrance to the road and recording the names of the fallen. Billy and Agatha set out to find Tommy. And that is how Agatha All Along concludes. Aurora, would you like to talk about the ending stretch of Agatha All Along?
I'm just going to come out and say that this has been my favorite show.
Oh, Marvel really? Show.
Yes.
Even over this, like WandaVision or Loki, yes, those are tough mountains to climb as well.
I just, you know, there are a couple of things in this show that felt new to me.
Yeah.
One was the fact that this show centered around women, and none of the conflict, none of the things that they were caring about had to do with a guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. This absolutely passed the Bechdel test in like a lot of situations.
Yes, and some people say, you know, when that happens, that the show is boring or the movie is boring. But this was, they did it in such a masterful way that it just makes you really care about every single character in the show.
Yeah.
And I also love shows like this where I saw it and things happened that make me want to see it again.
Yeah.
I want to go back and rewatch it so that I can see like all the hints.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That they give at the beginning, right? And there's a bunch of ways that you can rewatch this more than two times and find new things. And I think that's just amazing too. I really, really love the idea of Agatha taking advantage of all these witches and telling them that the road existed, and she's just taking their power.
Yeah.
And then this becoming reality with Billy. I thought that was, to leave it to the end and you having to make that connection to the beginning. I love that. Yeah. I love everything about it.
I especially really loved the last episode, because there were a lot of things that I feel like the show was sort of maybe setting up for you to think, like, about how things went with her and her son. Up until that point, they didn't really tell you a lot about it. Obviously, there was the rumor earlier in the season that she had traded him for the Darkhold. And then we had the episode where it became clear, like, she, you know, with the Ouija board episode, like there's a thing there. She doesn't want to face him. And, you know, like, oh, of course, like if you traded him for the Darkhold, like I wouldn't want to face him either, you know, that sort of thing. And the story we're actually revealed is nothing like that.
Right.
She loved her son and would never give him up. Like she pleaded with death to like not give, you know, to not.
But I will say that I did like that, even though she loves her son and all that, they didn't paint it as she was a devout mother, wonderful human being, and then when her son dies, no, she becomes a villain. Like she was a villain already.
Yeah, she was.
Who had a son.
She was. She was absolutely. Like she wanted power.
Yes. And she was using her son to get power.
I mean, she was justifying it, like why they were killing other witches.
But I just feel like that's not something that you see often, right? Because again, going against the norm in shows like this. Usually what happens is, you know, the woman loses the kid, and that's when, you know, they become vengeful or they want, turn into villains. But I love that in this case, no, they're showing an actual villain that is also a loving mother.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, what she's really ashamed of is, because he wanted her to stop. And I think she maybe could have or would have for him. But when she lost him, she stopped caring. And she only focused on just gaining as much power as she could. And I think that's why she's so afraid to face him. Because she feels guilty about what she did. She knows what she did is wrong. She knows what she did was bad. She knows that she, if she would ever face her son, he would be disappointed in her. And she can't bear to do that. But, you know, that's how she... That's how she dealt with her grief, was by essentially diving into her work. It's just that her work was being evil, I guess. It is interesting because earlier in the season, they hinted at some things that led me to think that maybe she wasn't as bad. Like there was so many of these, I can be good moments that made me feel like deep down she really wants to. And maybe she does. Maybe she really does deep down underneath. But like we've never seen her take any of those steps. And now she is a specter, which I don't know if they're... I guess that's when we're going to see them again. Maybe they're going to... We're quickly developing a cast for like a Young Avengers movie. And they're all going to be here. At some point, a lot of them are already around, and they've already sort of hinted at that in the post-credit scene for the Marvels. They've already sort of hinted at Ms. Marvel putting or wanting to start putting that group together. So I would not be shocked to have Tommy and Billy show up in that. I don't know if it ends up being a mini series on Disney Plus or if it ends up being a feature film. No idea.
I mean, if there's going to be a ghost witch, they better make it a series. I need to see multiple episodes of this.
Yeah, you need to see them hanging out.
Oh, yes.
It's possible they do another season of this. I don't know. Like, it's hard to tell what they're going to do multiple seasons of. So it's weird. So I recently bought, they put Hawkeye out on... Mm-hmm. on 4K, and I got it, and like on the spine of it, it has a one, like it's season one. Oh. So maybe they're gonna do more with that. Maybe they're gonna do more with Kate Bishop. I don't know. Well, I mean, I know they're gonna do more with Kate Bishop, but like whether it's gonna be in movies or TV, I don't know. But that certainly indicates that they're gonna do more than one season, and not all of the shows have that. Like WandaVision doesn't have that, and I don't think Moon Knight had that, but I don't know all what's kind of in the melting pot there at Marvel.
I mean,
right
it
now.
Seemed to me that the way that it ended, it seems to me that they're like walking towards another show. They didn't feel like they're walking towards another Agatha.
Yeah. Something different, perhaps.
Something different.
It won't be next year because 2025 is a busy year for Marvel. They've got two movies coming out. And a couple of shows, at least a couple of shows. So, it'll be a busy time for them. And a busy time for us. So we are going to be taking a break for the holidays. We're going to come back in the new year and talk all about What If Season 3, which is going to be over by the time we start talking about it. But that's not our fault. That's Disney's fault for airing it during the holidays when people are busy and spending time with family. So
that's right. That's right.
We're throwing them under the bus. It's not our fault. We can't make the time. They can make the time. That's what I'm going to go with. Okay, so I don't know how we're going to do this. Do you want to just score the season, I guess? What would you give the season of Agatha All Along?
I'm glad that you asked that question because I was going to say that I don't remember what scores I gave previous episodes of the show, but I feel like this is a show that once you see all of it, then your perception of previous shows changes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give the whole season a 5.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. Because I feel like as a season, right, because everything's so connected to each other, like even in the last episode, they made references to the first one.
Yes.
So I just... I feel like as a whole, it ties together so perfectly. It deserves a 5.
I honestly don't know what I would rate this yet. I guess I shouldn't have even asked the question because I don't know my own answer. they do allow you to like rate the shows on Letterboxd. I have like a Letterboxd account where I sort of keep all of my Marvel, well, all of my film reviews are there, but I also sort of keep my MCU rankings in there. And I know this show is going to rank highly for me, but I don't know where it's going to rank yet. I don't know. Right now, if like you put a gun to my head, it's somewhere between like it's somewhere between like 4.25 and 5, but I don't know where 100%. It's in between there somewhere. It's not going to be lower than a 4. But I'd have to think about it for a minute. I usually take my time. Like anybody cares about my Marvel rankings. I care. I care so much that I'm like, I need to think about this for a couple of days before I rank it officially on this list that nobody sees but me. It's high. It's up there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I like it better than... That's really tough because like both seasons of Loki were very good.
Oh yeah, WandaVision, they were amazing.
Was incredible. Mm-hmm. This show was fantastic. I don't know. It's going to be up there with all of those shows. It's going to be in the upper tier of my Marvel faves for sure. So yeah, there's that. I think Aurora and I have decided we're going to do when we come back in January. We're just going to tackle 2 What If episodes at a time. So. Mm-hmm. I think that's how we're going to do things. In the meantime, everybody, head on over to cinemageekly.com where you can check out the archives of the show. This is, of course, a listener-supported podcast, and there's some ways you can help out there if you'd like. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly. We also have the merch store, geeklymerch.com. Links for those are in the show notes for this episode. Of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Pocket Casts, anywhere you find a good podcast. Just search for Podcasters of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hit subscribe, and that way you can come back in the new year, 2025. We're going to talk about What If Season 3, Episode 1, What If the Hulk Fought the Mech Avengers, and Episode 2, What If Agatha Went to Hollywood. Yeah.